to be able to talk.
Let's kind of describe what this is, because people may be hearing this for the first time. You're at Illinois College, or at least for a certain period of time. What are you doing?
Well, let me back up first and tell you that the Youth Leadership Academy is a program of Looking for Lincoln and the Abraham Lincoln National Heritage Area. So particularly folks in Jacksonville and some of the surrounding communities will have seen our Wayside exhibit and will know that one of the most important things we do is work with communities to help them tell their Lincoln story authentically in order to promote heritage tourism as an economic driver.
Sure.
Now, having said that, the Spirit of Lincoln Youth Leadership Academy grows out of another part of the legislative mandate we have as the National Heritage Area, and that is to preserve and tell the story of the life and times of Abraham Lincoln for future generations. So about 6 years ago, a group of us started talking, mostly Lincoln historians, saying if we could do a Youth Leadership Academy that would give youth a grounding and a foundation as Lincoln as the leader and what made him a good leader, that could be the really good foundation for a leadership academy to say to them, looking at Lincoln and seeing what kind of leader he was, what do you think you can do as a leader?
You know,
that's where the whole thing started.
With each generation that passes through, that assumption that we know Lincoln and know his qualities kind of fades a little bit. So this is a great way to offer that continuum.
Well, you know, I mean, there are all kinds of ways to approach sharing a story with the next generation. We decided in this case to do it as a group of 40 eighth graders once a year and give them an immersive on-campus experience. We're doing two things. We're not only giving them that opportunity to learn and walk in Lincoln's footsteps and whatnot, but they're also spending a week on a college campus, so they're getting that sense and feeling of what's it like to be on a campus and is this where I see myself in the future.
Well, and on a campus that has that Lincoln stamp right on it.
You betcha. That wasn't by accident either.
I can imagine.
In fact,
yeah.
President Farley has been instrumental in the development of this since the very beginning.
And I know she's deeply involved in all of that, and the history of Illinois College goes way back. Is it surprising for you to note how many people don't realize the extent of Lincoln's footprint in this general area?
You know, I think it's always harder to know what's in your backyard, so to speak. And I sometimes feel like those of us in Illinois, we're so used to hearing about Lincoln, we forget that maybe we don't know everything about Lincoln. And you know, he is still studied in school, so there's no doubt that our youth population knows who Lincoln is, but it's a pretty shallow knowledge usually. And we focus specifically on leadership. So the four pillars of leadership that we look at with Lincoln are honesty, integrity, perseverance, and empathy. And we really explore those all week. So this morning, for example, we were at Lincoln's home. And we talked about those things in relationship to where Lincoln was in his life when he lived at Lincoln Home. Right now, the kids are in the old state capitol, and I know they're hearing about the House Divided speech, which is another major leadership role. So, you know, we're trying to make sure it's not just a generic Lincoln experience, but one that's been very carefully planned and crafted to give their emerging leaders, give the emerging leaders that sense of, wow, leadership is not an easy thing. Sometimes it takes a lot of guts to be a good leader. You know, we don't just gloss over it. We really look at it. And then we also look at leadership from the perspective of what were the social issues in Lincoln's time, and are we still dealing with some of those same societal issues today, and could we take some of Lincoln's leadership characteristics and apply them to some of the issues today?
You know, that's a pretty steep challenge for eighth graders to tackle.
Well, yes and no. I am just incredibly impressed with eighth graders. They just finished seventh grade, so they'll be eighth grade in the fall. But we used research to pick that age, knowing that they are old enough to really study some pretty heavy-duty stuff, but they're still young enough that they get excited and enthusiastic, and it's also that time before the grades that they're making are critical. So if they want to start looking for a trajectory for themselves, it's not too late. Whereas if we brought in high school juniors and they decide as a junior in high school that, oh, wow, I better kick it into gear, you know, it's almost too late, depending on what they would be choosing to do.
That's a neat foundation that you're laying. So what are some of the activities you have planned this week? You mentioned the state capitol. You mentioned Lincoln's home. I assume New Salem's going to play a role in this, too?
New Salem will play a role. What we're trying to do is take them from the dirt roads that Lincoln walked on in New Salem all the way through the marble floors and the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Museum to help them understand where he started and where he ended up and what a really incredible journey that was.
And how much of that journey shaped him as a man?
Well, and then we would suggest that a great deal of that journey shaped him and the people around him, those people that he interacted with and learned from and worked with, had a huge impact. And on Tuesday, so today we're in Springfield doing all the Springfield things. We'll end the day at the tomb and really give them that experience of here's where a president is buried.
Mm-hmm.
And then tomorrow we go to New Philadelphia, the Free Frank McWhorter community that was established kind of near Pittsfield.
Sure.
We go on into Quincy, and that's one of the debate sites. So the kids will learn more about Lincoln as the debater and the political side of things and what kind of leadership it takes for that, as well as visiting Eel's house, which was on the Underground Railroad.
Hmm. And that's neat that you're able to incorporate all those. How do you pick these soon-to-be eighth graders?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that question. We work very closely with 4-H and with Frontiers International, because in both cases, we want to have children identified for us by adults who know them. Because what we say to them is, our preferred participant in this program is a youth who has leadership potential that they may not realize they have at this point.
Hmm.
And we don't have a grade point expectation, and we don't have any kind of scholastic requirements to get in. We will take kids with whatever their skill set is, because we've got it set up on a multi-sensory, immersive kind of situation. So if you're not comfortable writing, then you tell us what you're thinking. If you're not comfortable reading, let's read it together. You know, whatever the case may be, we've tried to make sure that every youth who comes through can participate in their own way.
Is this a singular year event? Have you been doing it for a while? Do you plan on continuing it?
I hope this is something that would continue as long as Looking for Lincoln is around. This is our fourth year.
Mm-hmm.
We spent 2 years planning and organizing and looking for the funding, which is an ongoing issue like any other programmatic funding issue. And then we kicked off the inaugural one 4 years ago, and here we are 4 years later, and it just gets better every year. So I think we've learned more about how to work with eighth graders, but because of 4-H and Frontiers International, they're bringing kids to us who are just ripe for this and ready to be there and are eager and excited, and that makes all the difference, too.
Once this is done, how do you know you got through to them? I'm sitting here thinking, if you know, 4 years ago, then those kids are seniors or will be seniors. It'd be nice to be able to get some sort of gauge as to how effective this is.
Oh, so true. And that's something we're in the infancy of. We're tracking that. Again, that's another beauty of Frontiers International and 4-H, is those kids then tend to stay involved in those programs. So a lot of what we're capturing now is anecdotal because they haven't graduated from high school. Those major things haven't happened. But by staying in touch with them through the organization that recommended them, we're finding that we're able to stay in touch with quite a few. Now, one of the little things that we've done is that one of the last things the kids do is write a letter to themselves 2 years in the future.
Hmm.
And we encourage them to talk about what they hope, telling themselves what they hope they're doing, that kind of thing. And so, you know, like I said, we're in the infancy on those pieces of it. But to me, that's one of the important parts. Now, I will tell you, one of our new emerging leaders who checked in last night, her big sister came up and said, "Do you recognize me?" And I said, "I do." Well, she had been in our group 2 years ago.
Cool.
Very shy, very quiet. She is now the president of her 4-H group.
Oh, neat.
So I would love to say there's an absolute correlation there.
Yeah, I think you can get away with saying that. Let's take a break. We're halfway through this morning's program. Sarah Watson is with us. We'll continue after this timeout. So this morning from the Lincoln Youth Leadership Academy, I asked you during the timeout, well, we'll talk a little bit more about this, 43 counties in the Abraham Lincoln National Heritage Area. And you say that there's proof that Lincoln at least spent some time in each one of these counties.
Yes. Now, not necessarily a lot of time in every county, but they know that he at least traveled through them, whether it was on the 8th Judicial Circuit, when he traveled the circuit, or when he was traveling as a lawyer for other purposes, or whether it was earlier in his career and life as part of his different political campaigns, the debates, that kind of thing. So, yeah, no, that was very careful. Actually, the National Park Service has very high standards for national heritage areas to be able to prove the significance of the nationally significant story that they're trying to tell. Now, to me, what's even more interesting is there are 55 national heritage areas around the country.
Hmm.
Ours is the only one telling the story of a person.
That's interesting.
All of the rest of them are talking about a canal or
sure.
a railroad line or something and talking about its significance to the development of the country or that area. But we are the only ones telling the story of a person.
Now, I would assume, Sarah, as you're telling the story, as the story is being told to these school children, that not only you talk about Lincoln, but, for instance, in Quincy, the Douglas-Lincoln debates, you learned a little bit more about Stephen Douglas and maybe his leadership qualities and maybe his impact on Lincoln.
Yes, and we talk about Harriet Tubman,
mm-hmm.
and we talk about, you know, so we talk about a number of folks who showed their leadership in you know, very different kinds of ways. Dr. Eales, who was arrested for harboring runaway slaves. You know, we talk about what, you know, is that a good thing, bad thing? And regardless of whether it's a good thing, bad thing, what kind of leadership was he showing by doing that?
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to give the kids as many different opportunities to kind of think through what leadership is and not just kind of the glorious parts of leadership, but what does it really mean? What actions can you put behind your words?
Has the Academy changed a lot since that first year, 4 years ago?
You know, I mean, we're already, the Academy director and I are already tweaking for next year. We started that the minute the kids arrived. But having said that, we have the model that we came up with in that first 2 years has proven to be sound enough that we have not gone back to the drawing board on any of it. We've just gone back and said, okay, this little piece could be changed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe we switch things up a little bit here and there. One of the cool things we started doing last year was giving the kids a set of 4 books about Lincoln that are theirs to keep. And on Thursday, we will have the author of one of those books with us. So the emerging leaders are going to meet this author, hear his journey to leadership, and go away knowing that not only do they have four books, but one of them has been signed by the author.
And what a great jumping off spot, starting in Jacksonville, being able to go over to Springfield, where Lincoln spent so much time and so much is done in his name. It's just, it provides a pretty good anchor, doesn't it?
It sure does. And can I need to do one shout out if you'll
sure,
let me.
Sure, sure.
Okay, I'm going to do it anyway.
Okay.
All you can do is hang up on me.
Yeah, that's right.
The Hampton Inn in Jacksonville has been incredibly generous to us, not only giving us rooms, that's what made me think of it, is the author is staying there, and they're providing the room for him. And yesterday, all of the emerging leaders were greeted with a bag of toiletries from the Hampton.
Oh, neat.
So they start with a present.
Yeah.
And that was her idea. That was not our idea. That was her idea. So I just... taking advantage of this time to say thank you publicly.
Is this Academy being done elsewhere, or is this the only place?
This is the only place, and the hardest part of this is the Academy costs about, the expenses total about $1,000 per emerging leader, and we are raising that money because we would never want to have someone be unable to come because of the cost of the program.
Sure.
So that's just a challenge for us on our end that we take on gladly. But anytime we get help programmatic, you know, from hotels like the Hampton, it's just that much more we can do for the youth.
All right, Sarah Watson, our guest. We have one more timeout to take. Let's do that, and we'll come back to wrap things up.
So that's kind of our Bible of... we also publish a series of guidebooks.
All right, I'm going to have to interrupt you, Sarah. We're back on the air. We were talking off the air. How much have you learned? How much did you know about Lincoln before this? How much have you learned?
You know, I am absolutely a perfect example of what we talked about earlier, because I thought I knew so much about Lincoln and found out very quickly I knew so little about Lincoln. But I have been fortunate to be immersed in the world of Lincoln, and we have such incredible Lincoln scholars here in Springfield and in central Illinois. But I would say that I'm that poster child for, oh, I know all about Lincoln. Well, not really.
Yeah.
Not really.
And it's interesting, the more layers of Lincoln you peel back, the more you want to dive deeper into it.
Yes. Yes. That is so true. And then you you look beyond Lincoln to family relationships and all the different pieces that spin off an individual. And yes, it gets pretty fascinating.
Well,
and I don't think we lose sight either of the fact that he was a human being. He wasn't perfect.
Right.
He made his mistakes along with everybody else. But still, despite that, it was an incredible leader for our country.
Yeah, he really was. So this week, does it end on Friday?
It does. At 3 o'clock on Friday, we will have a closing celebration. And then the parents will come for that celebration and take their kids with them when they go.
Well, that's neat. And then the kids will remember this the rest of their lives.
We're hoping so. And even just a few of them, we still will have had an impact, hopefully. So,
yeah, I think you're right.
Indeed.
You guys are doing a good job. Hey, Sarah, thank you very much for your time this morning. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.